chapter 7, Matthew 7. And while they're leaving, I'd like to draw your attention to a couple of things this morning. We have a pretty extensive prayer request sheet, our prayer list in the bulletin. I think it's a yellow sheet that's in there. A lot of things to be praying for here at the church. A couple of things in particular. Billy Anderson's in the back. This will be his last Sunday with us for a while. Next Sunday morning, he goes into Roswell and begins getting treatments. He'll be there at least probably until November. But even after that, Billy will not be back with us for some time as he heals and his immune system recuperates. I also want to let you know one thing that's not in the prayer request list, that Matt Lawn, many of y'all know Matt, was an elder here at CAS, Connie Jennings' son. He'll be leaving tomorrow for Ukraine. He'll be there for about a year, and Matt has, in all the many funerals that we've had recently, Matt has done a wonderful job of leading along with Jody in many of those. And so please be praying for Matt. Please be praying for Chris, his wife, that is Russ and Kathy Peck's daughter. Be praying for her while her husband is gone for an extended amount of time. She doesn't believe that she'll be able to go over and see him during that time either, and so it'll be a challenging time in their home. I also want to draw your attention to the fact that it is Pastor Crate and Miss Gloria's, I think, 66th anniversary. And so, many of you all know and love the Crates. Pastor Crate was the shepherd here in this church, pastor from 1977 to 1997. And it's such a blessing anytime that we get to see him and his family. And so he and Miss Gloria celebrating that. What a wonderful accomplishment, 66 years. So Matthew chapter 7 is where we're going to be today. And before we get going, let me pray. Our Father, you are a good and gracious God who looks down on us today as we open up your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and help us, Lord, to receive what you have to say. Speak to us. Move in this place with your spirit in a special way, convicting hearts, challenging us, opening up our eyes, Lord, to what you are calling us to be in Christ. We pray today for Billy and for Patty and their family, and ask God that you would bring healing to his body in the coming days and weeks as he gets treatment at Roswell. Billy is a light that burns brightly for you, energetic, excited about life, and excited, Lord, about you. He loves his God. And so while he's at Roswell, Lord, would you please use him to shine brightly for Jesus. The doctors and the nurses that he comes across, the people that come and visit him, they might think they're coming to encourage Billy, but I'll imagine that he will encourage them. So please, Lord, use him there. Please strengthen Patty, his children, his father, those who are worried about him. We pray, God, that your will would be done. We pray, God, that your will would be to heal Billy. But we know, God, that his faith is in you, and ultimately you will bring healing to his body. We pray for Matt. We pray for him as he goes on this trip with the army, ministering to soldiers in the Ukraine. Please use him, God, to minister to their needs, to draw them toward Christ. Matt is a warm, compassionate, godly man who desires to see you glorified. Please use him while he is there. We pray, God, for Chris and for the Pecks, that while Matt is gone, that you would provide strength, everything that she needs, that they need, to remain strong while her husband is gone. We thank you, God, for Pastor Crate, for Miss Gloria, for their family, for their many years of influence here at CAS, and it continues. He continues to encourage. He continues to minister. He continues to pastor in many ways, shepherding your people. We pray, God, that you would continue to use him and that family. Now, as we turn our attention to your word, have your way with us. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. As we come to today's passage, we'll be in verses 13 and 14 here in just a couple of minutes. The aim of Jesus' words to us, it goes from describing what His followers are like, what their attitudes are, their character, their actions. Turns from that to challenging those who hear Him to ensure that they truly are followers of Jesus Christ, to make certain that's who they are. And so just because a person hears the words of Jesus, and maybe they like what they hear that He is saying, just because they hear them and like them, does not mean that they are willing to obey what He says. And so the last four passages, we've got 4 weeks left in this sermon, and these last four passages all deal with choices. Choices. You're either this or you're that. Concerning the kingdom life in contrast with the ways of the world, there is no middle ground. There's the path of life, that's what we'll see today, and the path of destruction. There's a good tree that bears good fruit and a bad tree that bears bad fruit. On the day of judgment, there will be those who Jesus knows as His own, and then there will be those that He looks at and says, I don't know you. I don't know who you are. There are those people who build their house on good foundations that stand, and when the storms come and blow against that house, they withstand the weather. And then there are those houses that are built on sand, and when the storm comes, the destruction of that house is great. And so after all the time that we've spent here in this sermon, we've come to a place where Jesus is asking each one of us, are you a Sermon on the Mount Christian? Is this what your life looks like? Is this what you were consistently striving for? Or is it something else? Are you the person that's hungering and thirsting for righteousness, the things of God, the ways of God, delighting in Him? Are you willing to not simply listen to Jesus' words, but to actually live them out? Is loving your enemy a good suggestion to think about, or is it a command that is to be obeyed? Is not judging others, is that something for your neighbor to consider? Or is that something for you to consider and do? Are you willing to say that lusting, a short temper, and unforgiveness are evil just while you're in church on Sunday morning? Or is that what you are willing to say when you walk out the doors and through each and every day of the week before you come back? Jesus is describing the Christian's way of life, what we're supposed to be like. And He turns to us and He speaks directly and says, eye to eye, is that what you are? Truly, is that what you are? Are you a genuine Christian? Because these are not waters that can be tiptoed into. This is not something to just be tried out. There is no room on you just to ride on the fence. This is not just a subject that is to simply be considered. You are either with Christ or you are not. And our passage today is instructive for us. It helps us to see where we are in relationship to Him. And that's what Jesus wants from us. Again, He turns from telling us what we're supposed to be like to challenging us to say, is this what you are? Have you committed your life to living like this? Does the Holy Spirit live in you, giving you ability beyond what you are able to do these very things? So let's look at what He says in verses 13 and 14. Our Lord says, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. And so Jesus is presenting to us here two clear ways, two options for living. And he describes these as gates that lead to certain paths, certain ways of life. And he says one of these is very small. It is a narrow gate, and the other one is very large. It is wide. And I think it might be helpful if we could, for a few minutes this morning, use our sanctified imaginations to try to see what this might be like, what it might look like in our mind's eye, this illustration that Jesus is describing to us. And so I want you to imagine that you're standing on the side of a road. And off in the distance, you see a very large gate. This is the wide gate that Jesus is describing. And you think to yourself, this is probably the size of a castle gate. Probably the size of a castle gate, kind of like you see in the movies. And the path to get there is paved. It's wide, it's smooth. It's a bustling highway that can hold plenty of travelers, and that's exactly what there is. You look out, and you see plenty of people walking along this path. People of all types and ages making their way toward this entrance. And as you watch them arrive at their destination, many people are going through at the same time, side by side. And the scene couldn't be any more different at the other gate. It's not hidden. It's not concealed. But it's certainly not as easy to get to as the other gate was. You notice that it's so narrow that only one person can go through at a time. Maybe about as wide as a closet door. And the path to this little gate veers off of the main highway, and it's winding. Maybe you've walked on something like this before. Maybe a dirt path, a little bit rocky. Tree roots growing through it, making it a little bit difficult to walk. It's challenging. And the edges of the path are overgrown. Thorn bushes crowd into it. And you think to yourself, there's no way that I can walk through there without getting a few scrapes or scratches along the way. And occasionally you see a traveler go down that way. And you watch as the people on the easy path, they laugh at that man. And tell him what a fool he is for leaving their company and how it would be just better for him if he stayed right there with them. After all, they say, both paths lead to the same place. But they can't persuade him to come back. And yeah, he has his problems, stumbling, and the going is slow as he walks along that path. But he eventually arrives at his destination, this small passageway, and he walks through. And you then decide to walk up to each one of these gates just to see what's on the other side. And you wonder if, in fact, maybe they do go to the same place. And you decide to try the broad, easy path first. And so you join the crowd. You jump in there with them. A lot of conversation, a lot of music, a lot of joking in the crowd. And they're all moving at about the same pace, and you know that you better walk about the same speed they do because you don't want to get knocked around. You don't want to get trampled. And sure enough, before you know it, you're there at the gate. You step over to the side to allow all the people to pour in, careful that you don't step through. You just watch. And you notice that the straight, smooth path that you were on before, it stays smooth and straight beyond that gate. It just continues on. And it's a pretty long path, but you can see it all just fine because you're so much higher in elevation than where the path leads. And nobody seems to have any difficulty as they walk on it. It's almost as if gravity is just carrying them down all the way to where they are going. But you're surprised to see that not one person pays any attention to the fact that they're walking swiftly toward the edge of a cliff, talking, laughing all the way. And just like they walked through the gate, side by side, they drop out of sight, side by side. Maybe you think to yourself, they know something that I don't know. Maybe there's something at the bottom of that cliff that I just don't understand. Maybe there's just something that I'm not able to see. But you want to go and check out the narrow gate and see what's beyond it. And so, just as that path looked difficult to you when you were standing on the easy broad way, it was when you walked on it. It was challenging to get there. And a couple of times along the way, you wondered why you even tried at all. The other way was so smooth. Why didn't I just stay there? But eventually, there you are, standing at the gate, looking over to what's beyond, rarely having to ever step aside for anybody to pass by. But on occasion, a smiling face comes up the trail. That person greets you, overjoyed that they have found their destination. Overjoyed they have the opportunity to walk through into what's beyond. And as you look past it, you're amazed to see that just on the other side is a very large hill with a path winding off in the distance toward the top. And here are these travelers. You see them out there, way off in the distance, one by one, moving slowly and steadily toward their goal. And there are places along the way where trees have fallen. There are places along the way where there are holes in the path. Sections where there is rain and wind, and almost at the top, a forest that looks darker than night. But beyond that, at the very end, you see a large, bright house, people gathered outside, and even though it's a long way off, you can hear shouts of joy, and you can smell the aromas of a festival. And you take a step back and think how exciting it would be to get there. But you wonder to yourself, is it worth it? Is it worth it? And just to make sure there isn't a third way, you work your way back up the path to where you started and you have a look around. And just as you suspected, there isn't one. It's the wide gate with a smooth, well-traveled path toward the cliff. Or the narrow gate with the winding, difficult road up the hill. And so Jesus here is telling us that these are our two choices. There is no third way. And every person in this room and every person outside of these doors this morning is walking toward one of them or has walked through one of them. And this sermon that Jesus is preaching is supposed to help us understand which gate is it that we have walked through and which path beyond it are we actually on. There will be a sharp difference in the life of a person who is on the narrow path compared with a person on the wide path. They are not walking toward the same thing. Their goal is not the same thing. So you should be able to tell the difference between the two. Brothers and sisters, following Christ will not be easy. The Bible describes the Christian life as a fight. It is a race. It is a struggle. It is difficult. If you find discipleship to be carefree, to be simple, something that takes very little effort and very little of your time, you may not be following Christ. Jesus tells us here in this passage that it will be hard. The way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. There aren't many. You'll be battling sin. You'll be battling Satan and the world all the way up the hill. Jesus told his disciples that there would be a cost to following him. There would be a price to pay. If you aren't willing to separate yourself from the crowd, you're not willing to follow Jesus. So I want to give you a few principles here about the narrow gate and the narrow path. A few principles for us to understand so that we can make a wise choice as to which one to walk on. Do not choose the narrow gate if you want applause from men. If that's what you want, if that's what you long for, if that's what your heart clamors for, to be accepted, to be popular, to be loved by all, do not walk through the narrow gate. Following Jesus will not make you popular in our culture because the world only loves its own. The world accepts those who are like them. And if the world accepts you as its own, maybe it's because they think you're on the same path. Maybe they can't tell whether or not you're walking on the narrow path of the wide, so they accept you and say, well, he or she, they're just like us. A Christian's opinions will lead them away from popular opinion. The popular opinion on TV, the news, in your schools will lead the crowds to walk side by side through the wide gate. And Jesus says that its end is destruction. We know that's where it leads. And there may be times when you have to stand alone. There may be times when you have to walk on the narrow path alone. Maybe it'll just feel like you're all alone. And if you're on that path, and that's what you're feeling today, remember that your Savior, Jesus Christ, is with you. He'll strengthen you for times when the footing is rough and the weather is foul, and those times will come. Those seasons will come. When people attack you, or maybe even abandon you, and you can say to yourself, the Lord is my helper, what can man do to me? God is with me. And as long as He is with me, it does not matter who else stands with me. For our young people, teenagers especially, at your age, there is a great need to be accepted, to fit in, to be liked, a desire to walk on the wide and easy path with everybody else. It is not a cool thing to most of the people in your schools to follow and love the Lord Jesus Christ. You might often feel alone, and the temptation is going to be strong for you just to act like everybody else acts. Maybe not to be popular, but at least not to be unpopular, or not to be an outcast. I don't ever want to feel alone. Usually, if you're a teenager, you always feel that way. You don't want to stray from the crowd. You don't want to feel like you're standing alone. You need to hear the words of Jesus that what you do for God and not for men or for other teenagers, it will be rewarded by Him. Your Father in heaven sees everything that you do, and He'll reward you Himself face to face. Walk on the narrow path, and He'll provide you with a joy superior to that what the pleasures of the world can give. He says He will give you money bags that do not grow old. He will give you things that rust and moth cannot take away. Put one foot in front of the other, one day at a time, one decision at a time, and live for the applause of God and not your classmates. So friends, we need to understand that if we love to be popular, if we love to be liked, if we love the praise of people, don't waste your time going through the narrow gate. Secondly, do not enter the narrow gate if you want to be like the world. If you love the ways of the world, you love the things of the world. Because in this sermon, Jesus commands that His people would be sexually pure, to forgive those who wrong them, to seek peace with those who are angry at them, generous toward those people they don't think deserve it, to show kindness to their enemies. That's what Christ is calling us to. And these are difficult things, and these are not the ways of the world. In fact, often the world would say to do the opposite of these things. Do the things that feel good to you, that make you feel good about yourself, or to experience every pleasure that you can. That's what the world would say. But that's certainly not what Christ our Savior tells us here. He's teaching us to love the right things, to love good things, because He's preparing us for what we will love forever. He's molding and shaping our loves for what is fit for heaven. There will be no evil in the presence of God. None. Jesus Christ gave his life to put evil to death forever. So how then could his people find delight in evil things? How can we mix with evil things and think nothing of it? That it's no big deal. Impurity, darkness, lying, unrighteous anger. These have no place on the narrow path, but are littered on the wide one everywhere. So choose the narrow. If you want to be like Jesus and not like the world, it will not be easy, but it will be worth it. Next, we need to understand that it is possible to stumble while on the narrow path. I think sometimes we see these commands of Christ and we say, man, these are so high. These are so high. And this is where the gospel comes in to remind us that we are weak creatures. We're weak. And occasionally we lose our way. But that if you belong to Jesus, you will find your way again. You will come back to the path. We will sin. We will wander from the path. But the truth of the gospel, it restores us back to where we belong, in fellowship with God. As we ask for forgiveness, knowing that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sins, restores us to our proper walk, leads us back to where we can slowly and steadily begin our way back up the hill again. But we need to understand that continuing on the path is the normal thing for the Christian. Continuing in sin is not. So which one is it that more properly describes your life? Do you have a life where you are hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Where you are delighting in the cross of Jesus Christ? You are striving toward the narrow gate and the narrow path? Or is this something that you rarely ever think about? And you're so immersed in the culture of the world, the only time that it really ever crosses your mind about how you're supposed to live is when you come to church on Sunday mornings. I think that Jesus might be saying something to you here. Maybe you're not on the narrow path. Maybe you're on the wide path leading toward destruction, and He wants to wake you up. And He's calling you to come to Him. And that leads us to the last thing. Now is the time to step off the wide path. Now is the time to go through the narrow gate. It doesn't matter how much water has been under the bridge, how long you have been on the path. Maybe you went through that gate, that big, broad, wide gate a long time ago, and you've been walking that trail toward the cliff for some time. Jesus can still call you back to walk through that narrow gate. And now is the day to do it. And if the conviction is there in your heart that you're on the wrong path and it's leading you toward destruction, today is the day for you to change course. To turn around and come back to the call of Jesus Christ. He is a gentle Savior. He loves the weak. He binds up the brokenhearted. And we're told in Scripture that a bruised reed He will not break, and a smoldering wick He will not snuff out. So you are the bruised reed. And you are the wick that's smoldering, a little bit of smoke coming off of it. He's not going to snuff you out. He's standing at that narrow gate, and the Lord Jesus is calling you to come. You do not have to be afraid. His voice is guiding you toward Him. Something full of much more delight than what the world, the wide path, can offer. So would you pray with me? And as we pray, if the worship team would come up here to the stage. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. and that His call awakens our spirit to answer. Some here in this room, Lord, have been on the narrow path for a long time. And though the way has been hard, they have found it incredibly sweet. Because as they have gotten closer to the top of that hill, they have found that their fellowship with You has also gotten stronger. And through every obstacle that they have encountered, they have found that You were there with them. You did not abandon them. You did not leave them as orphans. All the while, Lord, You were walking steadily, strengthening them to continue on that path. And Lord, there may be people here today who are stumbling. Call them back to Yourself. Remind them again of who You are, what kind of God they have. Not a God that delights in condemnation. You are not a tyrant up in the clouds, always looking to strike down on those who have wandered from You. You are a gentle and merciful and patient God. And even here in this time together today, Lord, You are showing Your patience, using Your gospel to call people back to You. For those who have stumbled, Lord, set their feet back on the path where it belongs. And maybe there are people here in the room today, Lord, who have not trusted Your Son. Maybe they've been going through the motions for many years. Maybe they've even called themselves a church member. We ask, Lord, that You would awaken them to the fact that they are on a path toward destruction. And it is a merciful thing for You to call them to Yourself now before they get there. Lead them to the narrow gate, the gate of faith, that they might walk through and find You. A God who loves them and gave His Son for them. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.